Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council. Before we get going, just a few of the protocols for this chamber. You're welcome to have signs as long as you keep them down by your chest. That's at the request of folks providing security here. There's no hooting. There's no hollering. If you like something, you're welcome to do this. If you don't like something, you're welcome to do that. If you wish to speak on an item, the testimony has to be focused on the item under consideration. We do have a number of people that have signed up for communications, and on communications you can say whatever you want for 3 minutes. It's our job to listen. We don't respond as part of communications. We individually might respond later via email, and that's why we collect your information. If you are a lobbyist, if you're authorized to lobby on behalf of an organization under local law, you also have to let us know that you are a lobbyist and who you're lobbying for. We're really glad that you're here. Good morning. Today is Wednesday, November 16th. It is 9:30 a.m., and the City Council will come to order. Carla, can you please call the roll?
Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Adams.
Here. Quorum is present. We shall proceed, beginning with communications. Can you please read the title for item number 1199?
Request of Shedrick J. Wilkins to address Council regarding the homeless and occupied Portland.
Mr. Wilkins, welcome. Glad you're here.
My name is Cedric Wilkins.
Please have a seat.
Oh, have a seat first.
You just need to give us your name. We don't need your address, and that clock in front of you will help you count down your 3 minutes.
Okay. I just want to talk about the Ormond Mission of Mercy dental thing that they have at the convention center. The Oregonian didn't say that like 3,000 people walked off. They had the Red Cross there. They service 1,000 people. Now, if I was wanted free dentistry, I certainly don't want to catch pneumonia. So, actually, in the summertime in July, they have at the Memorial Coliseum a thing called, I went there, called Downtown Connection. And it's nice and warm, usually doesn't rain. It's the first Saturday after the 4th of July. And I got a dental hygiene thing for free because I make less than $12,000 a year. I think the city should put more effort into that. The climate's better. They also cover general doctor's appointments as well for people that are homeless, not just dentistry. It was my first thought, too. Why don't they do it at the Memorial Coliseum? And I could walk. Actually, there's a lot of unused space there. Anyway, I was actually there in November last year at Ormond, and I just walked off. It was like an Obama rally. It was just... And they did service 1,000 people. I think they pulled 1,500 teeth and did 1,000 fillings or something. But I'm saying I'm not going to stand in line. People stand in line or with the Red Cross bathrooms are for 12 hours. And it's not a good idea. I wouldn't switch dentistry for having pneumonia. And in July, you can just walk in there. It was a nice day at the Memorial Coliseum. And that's just my comment.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Can you please read the item for, please read the title for item number 1200.
Request of Todd Olson to, with Oregon Move Our Money, to address council regarding the city's banking relationships with Wells Fargo and Bank of America.
Mr. Olson. Hi, welcome.
Good morning.
Glad you're here.
Good morning. Mayor Adams and City Commissioners, thank you for this opportunity to address you today.
Can you move the mic a little closer? There you go. We can hear you better.
How's that?
Perfect.
Okay. My name is Todd Olson, and I'm a resident of the City of Portland, and I'm the coordinator of a newly formed citizens group called Move Our Money Oregon. Our group was motivated to organize by the National Move Your Money and Occupy movements. We have one specific purpose, and that is to persuade you, our local government officials, Metropolitan Portland and throughout Oregon, to bank locally. So far, we have received the support in our efforts from the Working Families Party of Oregon and Oregon Banks Local, and we're also working with some Occupy Portland activists as well. We're here today to ask you to move the city's money out of Wall Street banks and into local banks and credit unions. According to an employee in the city treasurer's office I spoke with last week, the city does the majority of its banking with Wells Fargo, and it also has contracts with Bank of America. That's my understanding from city's employees. Billions of city tax dollars flow through the same unscrupulous Wall Street banks who wrecked the economy and devastated our communities. The same Wall Street banks who dodged their taxes through loopholes and offshore accounts. The same Wall Street banks whose lending practices hinder small business growth and local economic developments. The same Wall Street banks who have corrupted our democratic institutions by purchasing political influence. And the same Wall Street banks who are ruthlessly foreclosing on the homes of our neighbors, our families, and our friends. We ask you, should the city continue to bank with Wells Fargo and Bank of America when these banks obviously do not care about the people who live in our city? Our answer is no, the city should not. And we believe the city should bank locally as much as possible. We request that you direct... I'm not going to have time to finish this.
Go ahead. I would ask you to finish it.
Okay. All right. I don't have much farther to go. We request that you direct appropriate city personnel to look for ways to move as much city money as possible out of Wall Street banks and to local banks and credit unions. Community banks and credit unions benefit the local economy, so it makes sense for the city to do business with them. We also ask that you schedule public hearings to address the city's overall banking policies. And specifically, we request that you consider adopting a responsible banking ordinance. May I continue?
Please.
Okay. Responsible banking ordinances. Oh, excuse me. We request that you adopt a banking ordinance and that you study the feasibility of creating a municipal bank. Responsible banking ordinances already exist in several cities. Cleveland, Philadelphia, San Jose have responsible banking ordinances. And just 2 days ago, Seattle unanimously passed a resolution that included a responsible banking ordinance. Such ordinances establish policies about how municipalities bank and invest with financial institutions. Credit unions and banks who provide the greatest benefits to the local economy are given preference in city banking relationships. Portland should do business with banks who demonstrate scruples and a commitment to local economic development. The idea of municipal banks has been around for some time. North Dakota has a state bank that has served them well for 90 years. Other cities are also considering a municipal bank. San Francisco is right now studying the creation of a municipal bank. In fact, it's become an issue in their mayor's race right now, the contested mayor's race. By meeting its banking needs through a municipal bank, the city and other local governments could potentially save millions of dollars in fees now paid to Wall Street. A municipal bank could also benefit our regional economy through targeting local lending strategies. Mayor Adams and commissioners, banking is now a salient political issue. Where local governments choose to bank is a political and social act. The Move Your Money and Occupy movements have focused the country's attention on the obscene concentration of wealth and political influence enjoyed by a handful of Wall Street banks and the 1%. Millions of people moved an estimated $4.5 billion out of Wall Street banks and into Main Street banks over the past few months. Excuse me.
Are you getting close?
I'm all paragraph to go. I'm sorry.
Thank you're doing
you for,
great.
Thank you for your patience.
You're doing great. Just checking.
Okay. Here in Portland, 10,000 of us assembled and marched in solidarity on October 6th, despite the real problems that resulted from the occupation of Chapman and Lonsdale parks. It is misleading and despicable that some people attempt to characterize Occupy Portland as just the mentally ill the drug addicted, the homeless, and the disaffected, who were understandably drawn to the encampments. These social problems were not caused by the encampments. They preceded them. Commissioners, we cannot afford to wait for federal and state government to affirmatively address the economic and social inequity. The 99% want changed. We must act locally, and we should act now. The proposals we have outlined today are relevant, reasonable, and concrete ways you can address the gross inequity that brought 10,000 Oregonians to the streets of Portland 6 weeks ago. Thank you.
I would like to thank you for your testimony, and just to let you know that we have $30 million in Umpqua Bank, which is our largest placement. We do have $22.1 million in Wells Fargo, and that's why you mentioned it in your testimony.
$22.1 million?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
$22.1 in Wells Fargo, but our largest is in about, it's $29.9 in Umpqua Bank. We've long been a supporter and depositor in Umpqua Bank, which is the state's largest state chartered bank. And regarding credit unions, in 2013, Federal House Bill 3700 will take effect, which will allow credit unions to provide or become eligible for this from the state treasurer if they meet collateralization requirements to be able to offer insurance beyond the $250,000 that they're limited to right now. But so the city can invest, could invest in other credit unions up to $250,000, and after 2013 go even further. But we will look into your responsible banking suggestion. And also, I've not heard of the municipal bank either, so we'll look at that as well. Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you, Mayor Adams. I have asked the Office of Management and Finance to give us more information, so I'll post that information that the mayor just mentioned on my website later today. And also note that the Wells Fargo contract was, we had a public hearing to discuss which bank to use with our checking account. And so there's some information on that, which I'll get out as well. It's a very worthy and important debate to be having, and I really appreciate you bringing it to us today.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Email us any copies of those resolutions passed by other municipalities, that'd be helpful as well.
I did provide a copy to the clerk of the Seattle's resolution.
Excellent.
So, which is very comprehensive. A lot of good ideas in there.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you all for being here today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And you're welcome to stay and see more local government happen, or if you have to be somewhere, we will not be offended if you have to get up and leave as well. Can you please read the title for communications, item number 1201?
Request of Erica Askin to address council regarding the Bureau of Transportation.
Ms. Askin, hi, welcome.
Good morning, Council. My name is Erica Askin. I'm a staff member with Labor's Local 483, which represents municipal employees in the city of Portland. I am going to give a statement endorsed by the general membership last night. City Council and members of the public, we declare an economic emergency in the city of Portland. We ask Council to please do the same. We are the 900-member public employee union who maintain your infrastructure, including your gold medal parks renowned for their beauty, your clean roads and bridges, your safe water, and the vibrant community centers where your children learn and play. We support the public through our daily labor. Mayor Adams has asked our Bureau of Transportation to cut $16.2 million in infrastructure services that have already been depleted over the last 10 years. At least 100 layoffs of full-time represented employees, that's a third of our union members in that bureau, are expected. As a side note, at the maximum request in Parks and Recreation, up to 49 layoffs of full-time represented employees are projected. Without us, our roads will crumble, our parks will be trashed, our families will have no community centers to bring their children, emergency crews will not quickly arrive to disasters, and our neighbors will not get to their jobs or lead healthy lives. Without us, the city suffers. Cuts of this size are an emergency. Behind the desks and shovels, in trucks, standing at machines, and wearing hard hats are people, which you know. High unemployment within our city requires us to provide for our children longer and take care of our extended families. Those few of us who do not have families see the need to contribute even more to our neighbors, knowing that people are in dire need right now. Our union membership is often in the forefront of civic participation. Whether it be at our churches, in neighborhood associations, or even knocking on doors to provide support to our neighbors suffering during this economic crisis. Mayor Adams, City Council, we need jobs, not cuts. Layoffs of this proportion are an emergency. We also ask you to consider how massive layoffs will increase wealth inequality and depress labor standards in a community already struggling with a lack of family wage jobs. We know our union is strong, and strong unions set a pay standard that non-union employers in Portland and in this region follow to stay competitive. Our union thereby reduces inequality by maintaining a healthy standard of living more for low and middle wage workers than for managers, white-collar workers, or bankers. We see the current strategy of hiring non-union contractors, temporary and seasonal employees, without just cause or without access to arbitration as a reckless strategy for council. And our bureaus are also taking that reckless strategy because to do so will only cause more wage and health inequality in the city. Drastic reductions in labor standards are an emergency. Outside your doors, thousands have gathered over the last month to express the discontent with the economic choices of our governments, which have overwhelmingly favored the wealthy over the majority of constituents. We will once again express the frustration of the 99% tomorrow in a national day of action that focuses on the failure of our leaders to create good jobs while at the same time pursuing job-killing budget cuts. Knowing what is coming, we ask Portland to exercise leadership by example. We are mere days away from the recommendations of our Congressional Supercommittee, which will likely include $500 billion in cuts to Medicaid and Medicare. The bad decisions of Congress make it even more imperative that our local officials lead wisely. Lead working people into good jobs that serve the community. Lead us out of desperate unemployment. Lead us into an empowered society where our constituents feel successful at the end of the day because they have provided for their families and positively contributed to their communities. During this emergency, leading is what we elect you to do. Laborers Local 483 asks you to declare a fiscal emergency and work with us to implement portions of the city's emergency transition services program that will mitigate the downturn's negative effects on city employees. This emergency calls for you to put people to work in jobs that serve the public, not profits. Thank you for your consideration. And again, this was endorsed by the general membership last night.
Thank you very much. Can you please read the title for communications item number 1202?
Request of Farrell Rickards to address council regarding proposed budget cuts to infrastructure services at the Bureau of Transportation.
Good morning. Welcome. Glad you're here.
Mayor and Council, my name is Farrell Richards. I work at Maintenance Operations in the Street Cleaning Department. A little bit about street cleaning. The obvious part is we clean the streets and the bike lanes, keep them clear of debris. During leaf season, we keep the debris out of the environmental systems. The leaves are composted. All of this saves the city money. There are green spaces around the city that we mow. I noticed on today's city council agenda there are three properties being added to the Bureau of Transportation. I had a chance to look at one of them on Southeast Tacoma, and it's what we call a mow lot. So it's literally my job to take care of that. So we're having work added while we're discussing layoffs. Today, my department and many other departments will be responding to and help prevent localized flooding during things that are going on right now. There's a lot of leaves, there's a lot of rain. We're also first responders during snow and ice events. So we make it so people can get to work and emergency services can get through. When I was thinking about talking to y'all and about what maintenance is, I thought, if I just tell you what the departments are, that kind of says a lot. Just some of the departments: sewer construction, sewer cleaning, sewer repair, street maintenance, which is paving, street cleaning, sidewalks, traffic electrical, structures, which is bridges and overpasses. These things are not optional. These things are not discretionary. This is what it means to be a city. I believe that cutting these services constitutes an emergency. It's an emergency for the citizens of Portland, and it's certainly an emergency for the men and women who make their living providing these services. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, and thank you all for your work. We appreciate it very much. Can you please read the title? Please read the title for item number 1203.
Request of Reverend Robert W. Krueger to address council regarding proposed budget cuts and contracting out of infrastructure services to CRCI.
Good morning, Reverend. Welcome.
Good morning. I'm Robert Krueger, a retired Catholic pastor serving part-time at St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church and a community co-chair of Portland's Jobs of Justice. As a religious and community leader, I am concerned for the Portland metropolitan area, especially its people, workers, and institutions. A healthy city with good services, low poverty rates, good schools, more complete health coverage, and less crime requires good family wage jobs and a high density of organized workers. It is important that city government, which acts as employer in the name of the people, be an example to the community, to community employers by setting high standards of worker justice, giving the kind of attention to its workforce that it does to building and maintaining a beautiful city. One special issue for us today is the use of very low-paid prison labor for city maintenance. The primary goal of the community justice system for offenders should be restorative justice. Restoring relationships between the offenders and their communities and preparing them for successful reentry into society. How is this goal and the human dignity of offenders promoted by using them to fill budget gaps? Does it not instead, at less than a dollar an hour pay, make them a kind of wage slaves? Some are calling them the new Jim Crow because disproportionately large numbers of black men are used. Offenders displace free men and women from valuable work at family wages. This is also an example of profits over people of our economic system, which ultimately exists for the service of people. To become dependent on prison labor will be to move toward holding offending citizens out of their communities rather than reintegrating them. The other special concern I have today is that the city is using private contract labor. I think to retain a more human and just working environment, contracted labor should be held to a minimum. My experience with such privatization has been that another administrative layer of which the goal is profit making is placed between the representatives of the people and the workers that serve the public good. The new need for profit in this case competes with workers' needs for a just wage. And those being served are distanced from the workers and tend to feel less responsibility for their just treatment and compensation. Am I done? Okay.
Thanks, Father.
Thank you very much.
All right. Commissioner Nick Fish.
Mayor, because we have so many of our employees that are represented by Labor's 483 here today, I wanted to take a moment on behalf of Commissioner Leonard and the mayor and me to express our deep appreciation for all of the employees of the Parks Bureau, the Water Bureau, and the Maintenance Bureau, many of whom are members of Labor's 483, who work long hours and shifts over the weekend to help us remove, I believe, something like 80 truckloads of debris from Chapman and Lounsdale. I was in the park, Mayor, with our parks team, and they work long hours in difficult conditions. But I think it is appropriate, since we have so many of our employees here today, to express our deep thanks for the work that you did on short notice. And I'm particularly grateful as the Parks Commissioner. And Randy, we did not have enough equipment, trucks and otherwise, and the Water Bureau stepped up and the Maintenance Bureau. So I want to publicly give a thanks, and particularly to the people that did the hard work. And second, I just want to, Reverend Krueger made some very important points before us today, and I would welcome the opportunity to sit down with you, Reverend, wherever you are, and continue the discussion. I don't want to have a – this is not the right forum to have a discussion about inmate labor. I know you have a very strong view, and I want to hear it. And this issue, of course, predates a lot of us on council. But I will tell you that one issue that often gets lost is that the inmates that choose to do these crews earn time off from their sentences. They earn a small amount of compensation, which they can use for any purpose. They earn some life skills. The Multnomah County Sheriff says there's lower recidivism among the population that are involved in this. And I think you spoke very eloquently about reentry. The place where we have failed people who serve time, in my view, is around reentry. A rising tide of people who are homeless, who are former prisoners who can't get work, people who find that one mistake in their life makes it difficult to find employment, housing, and get their lives back together. I would like to explore with you, sir, and with others, ways in which people that serve in these crews and provide public services also have a chance to compete for those good family wage jobs when they come out in the bureaus that they serve while they're in prison. And I think that's a way that we could actually draw a connection between their service and their future employment. But I also want to just assure you that we would not, as a council, permit any inmate labor to displace an existing bargaining unit job. And there are mechanisms in our contract where that can be challenged, and I can assure you the laborers would file those grievances yesterday if that were the case. We will not allow those folks to displace existing jobs, but the truth is they do supplement our workforce. And we can have that debate, and you have framed it very eloquently. But I also want to focus on how, during the reentry phase, we can help people that have already demonstrated they have the work habits and commitment to our city work find ways to transition them into gainful employment with the City of Portland. So I appreciate your comments.
Thank you, Commissioner.
If I might just add, Mayor, thank you. Yeah. Commissioner Fish, when I checked with your staff yesterday on the issue of contract labor, I heard that in one particular contract that I know you've been working on hard over the past 2 years, the number of contract employees has decreased from over 100 to under 40. And I know this is something that you and I have been working on over the time that we've been in office, is that we recognize that indeed we want family wage jobs that are Portland Public employees. And so again, I echo Commissioner Fish's thanks to Laborers 483. Thank you for coming today, and thank you for raising these important issues.
Thanks for your work every day, and be careful out there. All right, that gets us to the consent agenda items. Does anyone wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Carla, can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Minner?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. Can you please read the title for 1204?
Declare intent to initiate local improvement district formation proceedings to construct street, multi-use path, and stormwater improvements in the Southeast 33rd Avenue and Party Street Local Improvement District.
Unless there's objection, this is rescheduled to December 7th, 2011, 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. time certain. So done. Can you please read the title for item number 1205?
Tentatively deny appeal of Cottonwood Capital Property Management, LLC, Frank Fleck, and Gary Gossett, and uphold hearings officer's decision with modifications to approve with conditions the application of Recology Oregon Material Recovery, Inc. for a conditional use to establish a waste-related use that accepts and processes food waste that is blended with yard debris within a fully enclosed building at 6400 Southeast 101st Avenue, LU 10194818CUAD.
Unless there's objections, this is rescheduled to November 30th, 2011, a 10:45 a.m. time certain.
So done. Can you please read the title for 1206 and 1236?
1206, grant a temporary revocable permit to Comcast of Oregon 2, Inc. to operate a cable system. 1236, authorize an agreement with Comcast of Illinois, Ohio, Oregon, LLC, and Comcast of Oregon 2, Inc. for institutional network service.
Commissioner Dan Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. As the council knows, the current Comcast cable franchises are expiring by the end of this year. The Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission and its staff, on our behalf, have conducted extensive negotiations of a renewed cable franchise agreement. Although this process has required two extensions of the current franchise, the negotiations have now concluded. Comcast has agreed to the terms of a renewed cable franchise, which has been recommended to us by the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. I am bringing the franchise process required by our city charter requires nearly 4 months to complete. I am bringing forward the renewed Comcast franchise in the form of a temporary revocable permit that will bridge the period between the expiration of the current franchises and the effective date of the renewed franchise. Comcast and the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission have agreed to all terms and provisions of both the permit and the renewed franchise, and Comcast has provided a separate letter to us agreeing to this procedure. The primary discussion of the Comcast renewal franchise should occur today in conjunction with consideration of the permit. I want to express my thanks to the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission and the Office for Community Technology for their success. I should say the Office of the City Attorney as well for their success in concluding this important negotiation and for bringing forth a renewed cable franchise which preserves for another 10 years community benefits that are commensurate with our existing franchises. I also want to express my thanks to Comcast for working closely with us on this process. We appreciate their commitment to our community. I'd now like to ask Alan Alexander of the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission and Sanford Inouye of Comcast to come forward to provide their comments. The Office for Community Technology Director David Olson, who represented the city, is here to answer any questions the council may have as well. David, you can come up. Alan, I'm going to start with you.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. My name is Alan Alexander. I'm one of your appointed members of the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. Also with me today, David Olson, Sanford Inouye. We are here to recommend that the City Council approve this temporary permit providing substantially all of the franchise terms for a renewed Comcast Cable Services Agreement. Upon Council approval of this, will allow the City Charter to require franchising process to formally renew the cable franchise with Comcast for a 10-year term. As the charter required process takes up to 4 months to complete, this permit containing all the renewal terms is necessary to bridge the period between expiration of the current franchise on December 31st of this year and the effective date of the renewed franchise in early 2012. Comcast has provided a separate letter to the city requesting an agreeing to city issuance of a temporary permit to allow the charter franchising process to be concluded and acknowledging and accepting any risks inherent in this procedure. Once the formal charter franchise process is completed, the renewed franchise will supersede the temporary one before you today. As to the merits of the renewed Comcast franchise, the MHCRC recommendation comes before you after extensive public input and negotiations with Comcast. The proposed franchise has been agreed to by Comcast and the MHCRC. As you may know, the MHCRC is responsible for this negotiation on your behalf. The obligations of the franchise with Comcast must follow requirements of federal law. In addition, MHCRC held a public hearing in September on proposed franchise public benefits. We began this process 3 years ago with a community needs ascertainment and conducted face-to-face negotiations with Comcast for nearly 2 years under the oversight of two commissioners. And in that regard, we'd like to thank Commissioner Amanda Fritz and her staff, as well as Commissioner Dan Saltzman and his staff, for their support and assistance in enabling us to continue this process. The process is now concluded, and the MHCRC has forwarded its recommendations to you and the other five MHCRC jurisdictions for consideration. Before I move to the recommendations, I would also like to thank the entire City Council for your patience and willingness to extend the current franchise, not once but twice, in order to allow MHCRC and Comcast to conclude the franchise negotiations. We appreciate the continued support of the MHCRC by City Council. We believe because of your patience, the benefits for the community and the renewed franchise have been maintained and improved in a number of respects. As you may know, franchise negotiations were challenging for both MHCRC and Comcast. The cable television business environment has changed dramatically and is quite different from the industry that existed when the current franchises were agreed to in the 90s. Both parties struggled to agree to an updated franchise term, which considered Comcast's business needs while preserving the significant public benefits and safeguards that our community depends on. The recommended franchise includes compromises from both MHCRC and Comcast. However, council members should be aware that the compromises were necessary to ensure the continuance of critical public benefits, and we believe that the resultant franchise is a fair bargain for all. I'd like to briefly summarize some of the key areas of the franchise. Cable franchise fees will be collected under the same terms as the current agreement. These funds will continue to be a critical component of your general fund revenues at current and projected levels. The Comcast iNet will continue to provide high-speed broadband and discounted rates relied upon by about 285 schools and community colleges, libraries, public safety agencies, and local governments throughout Multnomah County. This includes virtually every public school and library in the city and the county. An iNet upgrade and ongoing capital funding have been secured along with affordable rates and reliable performance guarantees. The renewal franchise continues to provide for channels, funding, and related resources for Portland community media. The franchise also requires enhancements to keep changes in technology. These include a path to convert PCM's channels, including this city council coverage, to high definition format. Local program listings, including web-based guides, as well as set-top boxes, and availability of community programming free of charge and on demand.
Are there a lot of people clamoring for high-definition city council meetings? just asking.
It's the future, okay. And we might require makeup and wardrobe for the future. But,
might need makeup and wardrobe, right. Whether you require it or not.
Okay, so funding for the Community Access Capital Grant Program has been retained in the renewal franchise, and these annual grant support projects that use the iNet or community media to benefit our communities. A couple of examples of granted projects in the past included enhanced high school learning in architecture, engineering, and construction at ACE Academy, providing a secure connection for domestic violence victims to get restraining orders on site at the Gateway Center for Domestic Violence, and increased availability of Multnomah County libraries and public access for computers and internet so that all people have access, helping to bridge that digital divide. So in conclusion, the benefits under the proposed Comcast franchise, which are fully set forth in a temporary permit, are tangible, extensive, and relied upon by the city, your partner jurisdictions, and critical institutions throughout Multnomah County. We are proud that even with compromises on both sides, these benefits have been retained and in some instances enhanced in the renewed franchise. None of this would have been possible without willing negotiators, so we would like to thank and recognize our partners Comcast for their willingness to work with us to reach a conclusion that benefits both the company and our community for the next 10 years. The MHCRC respectfully requests the Council approve the temporary revocable permit before you to bridge the period between the expiration of the current cable franchise and the date when the renewed cable franchise becomes effective. We're here to answer any questions.
Thanks, Alan. Sanford?
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. Good morning, Mayor Adams, Commissioners Saffredino with Comcast, and great to see you all this morning. And thank you for the opportunity to present a few comments on behalf of Comcast. As Alan had mentioned, the renewal process had been a long one. It's a complicated issue with the cable franchise as we have it today. But it was complex, but also challenging as well. And I'd like to thank David and his team, the City Council, MHCRC, for your support, and also for the cooperation and diligence in moving forward with the renewed franchise. Alan mentioned compromises. David mentioned compromises in the past. It is a package that we'll be happy with going forward. We've had a wonderful experience with the City of Portland, a positive partnership, and we look forward to working with the city for many years to come, more than 10 years, hopefully. As far as background for the company, I'd like to share some information with you that may be old news to you, but for our viewers looking in today or probably listening later, I'd like to share some information regarding Comcast and our involvement in the community, if I may. Comcast has a presence in not only Portland, but in Southwest Washington, Oregon. We have over 2,000 employees in our market. We have about 600 employees that are local for our customer services at the call center and our service centers. We continue to make investments not only in our cable system, but in our facilities as well. As some of you may know, we just opened a brand new service center in Northeast Sandy, which is state-of-the-art for hands-on interaction customer experience. We're very proud of that model, and we hopefully in the future we'll be able to launch more customer service centers like that in Northeast Sandy Boulevard. It's a great experience for our customers, and it's more efficient, and it's an investment as well with facilities and employees that will provide the most excellent customer service for our customers. Financially, as you may know, annually we provide through our customers, our valued customers, approximately $8 million to the city in franchise fees and PEG fees. We will continue to do that in a renewed franchise on an annual basis. We provide 8 public education and government access channels for use within the Portland area. Last but not least, we have been a big community partner with many organizations in the Portland area, and we're very proud of that relationship and partnerships with those organizations. Annually, we contribute in total in cash and in-kind more than $2 million every year. Those vital services are important to our customers, our citizens within Portland and the region, and we look forward to continuing that partnership with our organizations. Again, thank you for your support, your cooperation, and we look forward to working with the city again in many, many years to come.
Thank you.
Questions? Anybody have questions?
All right, thank you very much. Has anyone signed up to testify or wishes to testify on this matter?
No one else signed up.
All right, this is an emergency. So, Carly, can you please call the roll?
On 1206, Leonard.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, Mary. We have a substitute, Exhibit A. I think I said it was a replacement, but it is a substitute.
I move the substitute.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? Carly, can you please call the vote on the motion to substitute?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Substitute has been approved. Can you please call the vote on emergency ordinance substituted 1206?
Leonard.
As I was saying, thank you very much for your work. Aye.
Fritz?
Well, as Commissioner Alexander mentioned, I was the lead-off pitcher in this long game, although it's not a game, it's so important to the whole city that we can come to this agreement. And Commissioner Saltzman and his staff have done a great job of closing this episode, because it is an ongoing relationship that we have with Comcast. I appreciate your reminder of how many good family wage jobs you provide. I was very impressed when I visited the call center and heard about the job training that you do for people starting out their careers. And I also appreciate all the good things that I see you doing in the community. I was very honored at the Native American Youth and Family Center dinner last week to sit with a group from Comcast. And I see you, Sanford, at many, many community events that you don't have to be at, but you're there because you care about our community and you're part of our community, and that's important. I'm very grateful to David Olson and your amazing team at the Office for Community Technology, formerly known as the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management, which took me 6 months to learn how to say that when I first was assigned the Bureau. And it was actually one of the interesting things about becoming a Portland City Commissioner that I didn't know very much about this issue beforehand, but thanks to your diligence and your training, I rapidly became a very big fan. And thank you to the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, who are our citizen experts and who have provided amazing oversight and input into this process. That's greatly appreciated. Ben Walters in the city attorney's office has been absolutely stalwart, and we all appreciate his work. Tim Crail in my office and Brendan Finn in Commissioner Saltzman's have teamed on this. So it's been a partnership. And when we do get offices reassigned, that offers the opportunity for all of us to have input. I think we need to mention also this broadband strategic plan, which we passed a couple of months ago, that, again, Comcast and the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission had a lot of input in. So this is an exciting and money-making bureau, and it's the partnership with Comcast is one example of how we're all looking to get good family wage jobs and community benefits and to make this work for all the citizens and the taxpayers of Portland. So thank you for your work. Aye.
Fish.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for your leadership and for bringing this home. Thank you to the Office for Community Technology, David, and your team. And thanks to Comcast. Sanford and I just celebrated an important 25th anniversary. 25 years ago, we both graduated from Northeastern University School of Law. The amazing thing is we didn't know each other. The law school has a co-op system, and if you're on different co-ops, you actually would not meet half your class. So we never met. And somehow our lives, our careers took these interesting turns, and we both ended up in Portland. But we do appreciate all the work you do in our community. And aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank again Comcast. I want to thank the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission and also the staff of, well, both Ben Walters with the City Attorney's Office, David Olson, Office for Community Technology, Julie Omelchek, also with the office, and many others who worked hard to get us to where we are today, which is we're on the verge of a new 10-year franchise that provides important public benefits and enhanced services, which we'll be looking forward to. So thanks to all. Aye.
Adams.
Thank you for your longtime efforts on promoting smart technology, equitable technology, not only as part of your profession, but your civic volunteer, your civic involvement. I appreciate it very much. I agree with the words that have been said. You are everywhere. So I thought that I spend a lot of time after regular work hours. You do as well, and it's greatly appreciated. Mr. Olson, thanks to you and your team for your ongoing work to keep us at the cutting edge as much as we possibly can. So, aye. So approved. And then the one, let's do 1236. We'll just vote on that. It's just a appendix kind of thing.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
And I also want to thank Mark Farrar, the new head honcho at Comcast, for being part of our community. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. So approved. We're going to take a five-minute break. It is now 10:23.
All right.
Did you go to the law school and you didn't know each other?
No, but he's getting these rotations.
Yeah, no, I know that.
Just found out while we were here that we were.
You don't want to come back in the next two or three.
Thank you.
Yes, they both passed. Yes. You're welcome. Sorry about that. Sure.
10 years. Thank you.
That there is no opportunity for me to address that council until the 20th of next month. On something as pertinent.
Next month? Or next the 30th, you meant.